Good morning. If you guys would grab your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 3, and while we're doing that, I'm going to explain a little bit about what was going on, why I chose this passage. I can't explain it exactly, but as I was reading it, there's something that just attracted me to this passage in Ephesians 3. It's verses 7 through 14. I don't know exactly why. And as I began to study it, I started to see a lot of the beauty in it, a lot of the what it says to us, how this can be applicable, how we can learn from this passage. And as I was reading it, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Cool. This is great. So that's kind of why I chose this passage. And I see it as kind of a case study, kind of something that we see in Paul's attitude here that can be principalized. There's things that we can distill out of it in order that we can apply it to our own lives. And we'll see. And I'll explain that a little bit further. But let's go on and read the passage. So Ephesians 3, 7 through 14. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I'm the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, asking to know you better, asking to understand a little bit of who you are, understand a little bit of how we can live our lives worthy of the calling in which you called us. We ask that you give me words. We ask that your Holy Spirit be here. And we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. So the way that I saw this is it's kind of three parts, two parts, kind of three, but I have 3 points here because any good sermon has 3 points. Thanks, Johnny. I see nine in your head. So I have 3 points. I see it as Paul speaking about his specific call, and that's in verses 7 and 8. And a little bit of 9. And then I see also in those verses, Paul explaining how his call is a gift from God, is a grace to him from God. And that's something that I get pumped about, but we'll talk about that later. And then I see Paul speaking as the church, as an expression of the manifold witness of God, and it's an expression of the gospel, which was planned from eternity past. So those are my 3 points, and I'm done. So thanks. No, just kidding. Those are the 3 points that we're going to talk about, and I think all those things can be applied to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us can be applied. These things can be applied in specific ways. So let's get into it. So I was talking about Paul hearing about his specific call, and we see that in verses 7 and 8, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given by the working of his power. To me, though, I'm the very least of these saints. You know what? We'll just stop there, actually, before we won't go on anymore besides that. So we see that Paul was made a minister of the gospel. That was his call. That's what God said he ought to do. Now, I know what you guys are thinking, okay? Maybe you know Paul's story, you know. Okay, yeah, but he had a pretty, like, specific experience that I've never had, right? We know Paul was, like, on that Damascus Road. He was, like, all of a sudden stopped by a beam of light and, like, blinded. And then Jesus appeared to him, and he was like, go here and go there. And Jesus spoke to him audibly. That's the big thing, right? I have never heard the voice of God audibly. I can tell you that. But I know for a fact that I've been called in specific ways. I know this because the Bible talks about calling. The Bible talks about calling in a couple ways. Firstly, and I think most obviously, the Bible talks about calling in a way that talks about us living godly lives. Right? It talks about be sure to know that your calling in election is sure. Be sure to know that your calling in God is secure. Test yourself to see that your calling is sure. These kind of things are pretty clear. And all throughout the Bible, right? And it's also calls to love one another. It's also calls to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, right? All these calls are commands in the Bible. One of the things that I think is often forgotten is the idea of rejoicing is a command in the Bible. Whoa. that one always throws me. So he calls us to live godly lives. He calls us, the Bible calls us to be Christians, right? And acts as Peter is preaching. It talks about, they say, what must we do to be saved? In Acts 2, it says, what must we do to be saved? And Peter says, repent, believe, and be baptized. Like, those are calls. Those are the people were feeling the call of God because of Peter's preaching. And Peter explains what they must do. Repent, believe, be baptized. So these are calls to live godly lives. All these things are calls that we have on our lives. That these are calls for everyone. And we will be held accountable to these calls on the day when we meet God. Secondly, a little bit more... Well, no. I think these are calls to all of us. We're called to do work. We're called to work. We're not called to be lazy. We're not called to do nothing. In 2 Thessalonians, it talks about how be wary of the idle person. And it says if you don't work, you don't eat. So we're called to do work. We're called to live a life that is productive in some way. Okay, so these are general calls, and these are things that I see. But mostly I see in this passage, we're called to do ministry. We're all called to do ministry. All of us. Every single one. And you're like, hold on, Jared. I'm no pastor. I'm no missionary. I'm no youth group leader. I'm no this. I'm no that. And that's true. That might be true. That might be true for some of you. For some of you, it's not true. But for some of you, it might be true. But let me explain to you this in just a passage a little bit later. In Ephesians. In Ephesians 4:11, it talks about this. He says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, I think some of us put too much on pastor's plate. I was talking to a pastor at a friend's house. I hadn't known him real well. I knew he was a pastor, but we were just talking, and he was just telling me he's a youth pastor. And he goes, you know, I'm really excited for summer to be over because summer is just always super, super busy for me. I go, well, that's partly in your job description is to be more busy than you have time to do, or to have more events than you have time to plan and execute. And I think that's one thing that we often think is we go to church in order that the pastor might save people. Or we go to youth group, we bring our friends to youth group in order that the people that are in charge might do ministry. Or we say, oh, ministry is for pastors. Ministry is for apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But that's not true. Those people are given to us as the church in order that they can equip us to do ministry. I think actually this church does this really well. I think this church is awesome in the fact that we have lots of people very involved in ministries. And that's wonderful. I love it. And specifically people that aren't on staff here. I mean, our staff is a staff of one plus Clarence, who gets, you know, $1 a year. That's awesome. But we are, I think this church is great in the fact that we are involved in ministry. We take that call seriously, that we, as the saints of God, as those that were called to believe and live godly lives, are filled and outpour that into others. Okay? So I think that's one thing that we do really well. And the last part of this calling thing, I think, is we're called to make disciples. That one, these are all are pretty clear, I think. These are all pretty clear in we know, or if you have a background in church, you guys might know the Great Commission, right? Go make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28, right? Go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to believe what I commanded. So that one I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. But here's where it gets tricky. So those are called to everybody. Some to just Christians, which I would argue that all people are called to be Christians, so that's a whole other thing. But those are called to everyone. Where it gets tricky is specific calls. And we see that here in our passage. Paul, of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the least of the saints, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So that was his specific call, is to preach to the Gentiles. Now, that's a pretty specific call. Well, a lot of the people, a lot of the apostles in the early church were called to do specific things. For example, Paul preached to the Gentiles. Peter, James, John, they were more preached to the Jewish people. I believe Thomas was called. It's not seen in the Bible, but according to church history, he went east to India and to China, and preached in those areas. A couple other ones went other places, and really, those were specific calls to their life. Now, these aren't calls on everyone's life. I do not believe everyone should be a vocational missionary. I say vocational because I want to be very specific in that, because I do believe that everyone is a missionary in a sense. I think that is an important idea that we ought to get across, because everyone's called to do ministry. And that means in their sphere of influence, they're called to do ministry. For example, I was called to do ministry in Mexico City. I don't know why. I don't feel qualified for it many times. I didn't necessarily know that when I was growing up. I didn't know that I am going to do ministry to Mexico City. I am going to work to the end, in which ends me up in Mexico City preaching to the people there. However, I can see in lots of ways God preparing me for that. For example, my specific ministry in Mexico City has a lot to do with discipleship and Bible study and working closely, coaching, mentoring, training up of young men. And that's one thing that I had no idea that was going to be the case when I was in high school and I was poured into by the youth pastor then, and we had that men's Bible study, and that was hugely formative, or the young men's Bible study, I guess, and that was hugely formative in my life. I didn't know that I was going to be doing that kind of work when I was in a... I signed up for a kids ministry in college, and I worked with the oldest of the kids, which was like 12, 13, and they were supposed to be done after that, but they kept coming, so we ended up having to form a youth group and doing... And I ended up pouring into those young people's lives. And all these things I didn't realize were forming me in order that I could do this ministry in Mexico City. I didn't know that. But these things just kept coming up, and as this opportunity presented itself, I realized that I guess I have experience in this. I think the same way, and I think there's some things that work this way with you guys as well. And I'm sure that there are ways, and in this church even, that you can say, I didn't know God was forming me like this in order that I could do this. But he was. Right? And if you guys can't find those things, try. Think about it. I bet you there are. But let's continue. And these things these specific callings are completely different. If you guys have a background in church, I'm sure you guys know a little bit about 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about the church being a body, and talking about how not everyone's an eye, not everyone's a foot, not everyone's a hand. Some of us are elbows. And if you don't think that's important, try and hit your head without bending your arm. It'll annoy you. I can't do it. It's not good. You need elbows. You need elbows. We need knees. You know, all these kind of things. Like, we need things that aren't necessarily glamorous, but are necessary. Yeah, so think about those in your call, and a lot of things are behind the scenes. I know this church doesn't function without a lot of things going on that I have no idea about, that I will never be able to think because I didn't know they happened. And I know a lot of those things are done by many people that I just didn't know, and that is all important and part of ministry, part of the gospel. going out through this church, but also in our individual lives as we work, we're called to do ministry. And I think these three calls that go out to everyone are part of our ministry. Now, that means when we work in a wherever we're doing, whatever we do in our lives, we do in a godly manner, as we are called. We work hard and to the best of our ability, and in our work, in whatever we do in our lives, we try and make disciples. Does that make sense? Is everybody's tracking with me there? Now here, I think, is the part, is the reason why this passage stuck out to me. And I think as we participate in ministry, as we participate in the godly call on our lives, we should see it as a grace that we get to participate. Let me read those first two verses again. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of power. To me, though in the very least of these things, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, listen to that. Twice in two verses, it was mentioned that the ministry given to Paul was a grace of God. Now, I don't know exactly how to explain this without using a metaphor, a picture, I guess. Do you guys maybe remember or have ever been a part of a sports team, any really team sport, where there's always been the kid that just isn't real good at things? And they don't really get much playing time, except for maybe at the end of the game, right? When you're either winning by a whole lot or losing by a whole lot, and the outcome is pretty much done, right? I'm going to say that all of us are that kid. All of us. Why? Because God's on our team. We know the end. Last night, I was watching the U.S. men's basketball Olympic team. They're really good. I think by halftime, they were up by 20. They ended up winning by 57 points. And that's significant, especially when you're considering the other team only scored 62 points. They almost doubled the score. So us participating in the gospel would be like the Olympic men's basketball team putting me in. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen me play basketball. I'm not good. But it would be like them putting me in. You know, I might get a couple baskets, but I would love to participate. I could be in an Olympic sport. Yeah! If you know, Coach K, the coach of the basketball team, came and asked me, hey, do you wanna join the Olympic men's basketball team? What am I saying? Yes. Absolutely! No chance I'm denying that opportunity. And this is God's call to us. It's like, we know the end. We know where this is going. We know how this ends up. Remember, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That's the end. He's giving us a glimpse into where it ends. But sometimes we decide to not answer that phone. We think that ministry is a chore, and sometimes it's hard. I will not deny that. It is hard. But see it as a gift. It's the gift of God's grace. It's us being undeserving to be on the team, yet He lets us score some baskets. Another way that I've heard it put, one of my favorite images, illusions, is it's like a take your kid to work day, and you guys are, and we, all of us, are the kid at God's work. If any of you guys have experienced that, gotten to take your kid to work or been the kid that has been taken to work, in general, when that child is taken to work, they don't get any work done. They don't make the process easier or better, but they get to participate in it. They get to participate in it. It's not as though God needed us, but we are allowed to participate. He's already won. We see it in Revelation. He's won. But we get to participate. Think about that. Think about how awesome that is, that instead of God just being like, okay, here I go, ooh, 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 done. Every knee bowing, every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, light is revealed to all the people, we get to take some part in that action. That way we, at the end of our lives, can say, God did the work. I joined in. But I got to be a part of this eternal thing, this story that God is writing from eternity past to eternity future, in order that I can have joy, in order that I can understand a little bit of what God's joy is when He does ministry, which is always. Think about that. That changed my perspective on so many things when I first understood. It's a grace. Like, we usually think of grace being for our sins, right? We think, okay, God gave me grace in order that that I can be saved, in order that I can be part of His family, in order that we can have a relationship. And that's true, and that's great. But at the same time, He continues to give you grace because you're part of the family, but even so, you can't save anyone. You can't do ministry without His help. And He equips you, and he's pushing you along, and He's holding another image. He's holding your bike as you're riding, right? In order that you can do it, in order that you can participate. How awesome is that? I think that's the attitude that Paul has here. The second idea of this grace of God is the giftings given to us. Is the giftings given to us. And I explained this a little bit in our specific calls too. But we're made differently. There are a lot of you here that are just wired differently than I am. And that's a very good thing. And this will get into the church and kind of leads right into it. But are wired differently in order that you can do ministry differently than I can. I'm not a real great detail-oriented person. I am terrible at administrative stuff. I will say that. I try really hard. I work hard on it, but I'm not wired that way. And to be honest, it wears me out when I have to do a lot of it. But there are some people that are just great at it. There are some people that can do all these things, can figure out all the details, can manage things in a way that I just couldn't do. And that's awesome. There's a lot of things that I could go on in this. There's a lot of things that I can't do that other people in my life help hold me up in this. But we'll continue on. So I want to move on a little bit to, okay, so these were kind of individualistic and saying, okay, this was you guys specifically. This is what you guys specifically are called to, or, I mean, what everybody individually is called to. But this passage also has, Paul brings a church into it, and I love that. I love the idea that in this ministry, it's not just individuals, not just me and God doing my own thing, but it's the church as well. And so let's go on. I'm going to start at verse 8 because that's the start of the sentence, and 9 is not. To me, though I am the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mysteries hidden for ages in God who created all things. That through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness to access with confidence through faith in him. Did you guys hear that? Like, okay, Paul was made a minister. Individually, he was specifically called to be a minister. To the Gentiles, to bring to light everything that was hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be known. Okay, so listen to this. Paul was made to be a minister to reveal things that was hidden for ages. Now, this is the gospel. This is what he's talking about. The things hidden for ages in God was the gospel. Remember, Old Testament people they knew a little bit on how God was going to save his people, but we have a much clearer picture looking back on Jesus, right? They were looking forward. Okay, God, we know you're going to save us. We know a couple things about how you're going to save us. We look at a person. We look at Jesus. We see through the Gospels what he did. We see that it was going to be through a perfect life lived, an undeserving death, a resurrection from the grave. We see that. We see it clear. This was the mystery that was hidden and now has been revealed to us. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Listen to this. It is not through one person's preaching of the gospel that the manifold wisdom of God is made known. I will say, it is through Jesus that the manifold wisdom of God is made known. But it's through the diversity of the church. It's through all of our specific callings, all of our specific giftings and workings and outworkings that we can be God's actors. We can be God's active institution in this world. But not only that, but it's also through our unity. The church, us, all of us individually, are about lots of different things. We have specific passions. We have specific callings, specific ways that we preach the gospel, specific ways that we do ministry, specific ways that we engage with people. But we are all unified in the fact that our goal is gospel. Our goal is that the people might receive, how does Paul put it? that the that we might bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So in everything, specifically, everything in diversity of the things that we do, whether it's feeding the poor or working with youth or visiting people in the hospital or anything, or mowing the lawn, it's that we might point back to the gospel, that which is at the core of the church, which is at the core of everything that the church does. So that the manifold wisdom of God might be known. And not only to everyone on this earth, but to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now that sets things on a whole different scale too, right? Think about it. That sets things on a whole different scale. That brings eternal beings, beings that don't die, beings that have been around since before any of us have, into play. See, here's my fear when we think about the church. As we think about it so locally, so locally, I guess is the only word that I can think about. We think about it as, okay, we're here in this place. We might even think about it globally in the sense that, okay, the church is all around the world. But do you ever think that the church has been planned since eternity past? God has been working since the beginning of time. In order to reveal himself through the gospel, through the church. The church was never God's plan B. So often, we get hung up in the silliness of church. Now, the silliness of church people, maybe. And I'm sure things are coming to all of your mind. To me, one of the things that comes to mind is a YouTube video that I thought about playing, but I decided against it. It was a pastor who was doing his best to be culturally relevant. And I don't know when it was, but he was rapping. It's a YouTube video. You can probably look it up. But I look at it and I'm looking at it. That's so ridiculous. That's so ridiculous. And maybe it is. It is, actually. I mean, I can say I look at it and I think it's ridiculous. But that's so local. It's like looking at a pointillism mural. You guys know what pointillism is? It's the, you know, dots, right? It's the pictures that are made by just a bunch of dots. And sometimes, in order to make a specific color, you have to make dots of different colors very close together. If you look at a pointillism mural right up in your face, you might only see something that looks ridiculous. You might only see an orange spot and a few of the green that doesn't fit. And we think that's ridiculous. But when you back up, when you take a step back and you engage with the whole picture, you see the manifold wisdom. Well, not in the picture. In the picture, you just see a picture. You see a beautiful picture. And that's what I fear we do with the churches. We're looking at it nose to the picture, and that's impossible to see everything that God's doing. Now, can we see everything that God's doing? Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because God is more wise than us. Wiser. God's manifold wisdom is too much for us to comprehend. But through the church, even though some points can be ridiculous or seem ridiculous, are really woven into the tapestry that is what God is doing in this earth. So this is, I think, this is just so important for us to see that we are locally here, Lake Region Bible Church, a part of something that's so much bigger than we can think of. That you, individually, as a Christian in this church, are part of a local church that's part of a global institution that's part of something that God has been planning from eternity. Think about that. Think about that. When you find ministry, or you think that what you're doing is a struggle, that what you're doing is something that you just don't want to do, no, it's a gift. We do not deserve to be a part of this thing. But we get to do it. We get to be woven into the tapestry that God is weaving. We get to be a point in the beautiful picture that God is painting. We get to be a part of this thing that has been from eternity past, that will win in the end. And we get to be a part of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you allow us to, by your grace, be a part of your gospel. We get to participate in the things that you are doing in this earth. May we never forget the grace that it is of us doing work for you. Lord, we pray that we can be faithful with the giftings that you've given us. We pray that we can work hard, and we can really be a people who displays your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace, how sweet the